Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version. So then my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water, just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm gonna set up the speaker and I'm gonna listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good on it and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
Did the Bills draft a linebacker? They didn't, right? I was looking at the bet board right over there. I don't know what you can see, but in this space, there is a very old dry erase board with all the bets we've made in here with each other over the years. And the one on the top, because the previous one on the top was the Milrow bet that for Bulldog was ill-fated. He's on a plane today. What will the Bills draft earlier? Sneaky Joe said running back. Jeremy said linebacker. They did neither. That is a push. That is one of the rare pushes in the history of the bet board. I'm not sure there's ever been one. Some of these bets last for many years. Right under it is my bet with Sneaky Joe that Ryan Tannehill starts and wins a Super Bowl someday at 20-1. What happened to that guy? Not Joe. What happened to Ryan Tannehill? He just decided to not play anymore and not tell anybody? Like, for all the quarterback needy teams, never to him, I guess. I missed the days of hearing everybody mention how he played wide receiver in college. I miss Ryan Tannehill. But see, that one is still up there. There's going to be resolution on that. We'll get to the Bills. Horse racing is on in here. Sam Panayotovich coming up at 3:30. DK Horse, the Kentucky Derby. I mean, it's fine, right? The Derby, it's fine. It's either, at worst, it's fine. At the most, it's amazing, and you live for it, and you dress up and drink mint juleps and bet everything. At the minimum, it's a nice, you know, a party. It's something to watch, something to put on. It's, you know, it's special. It's important. The Kentucky Derby. Like, that's the floor for the Kentucky Derby. I have it on in whatever today is, the day before the Derby, the Oaks, whatever it is. Like, I've got that on in here. It's kind of cool to look at. I just learned that Post 17 has never won. And that's the one, I believe, the one slot that has been used regularly all these years. It's like 90-some years and has never won. And the second favorite in the race tomorrow is in Post 17, Sandman, which, by the way, is one word. Because yesterday we had the thing about how a one-word named horse is like a big favorite to win. One of the single name horses, Rodriguez, was scratched, so maybe that's different now. Sam will know. Also, the horse, don't know the name or the year. The horse to have run the fastest quarter mile in the history of the Kentucky Derby finished last out of 20 horses in its in his race for hers. Fastest quarter mile in Derby history. Probably, what, like right out of the gate? And just like, I'm done. 20th out of 20. Okay. Well, I've got four guests today in Bulldog's absence. Sam Paniatovich, who I mentioned. Sal will join me. Tyler Dunn will join me. And as we get closer to the Bandits game tonight, great to have Dave Buchanan stop by and give us a preview. It has been Brandon Bean week. We've talked so much about him. He's talked a lot about us. He's talked a lot to a lot of people. Like I don't know. I get the sense, I've gotten the sense this week, because the thing happened in here on Monday morning, and then he was on Monday afternoon, and then he was on the next day, and then he was on McAfee, and he was like, oh, he's doing, then it's Tyler Dunn for an hour, and Tyler's like, time to go. He's like, no, let's keep going. Tyler will give us that story later. This is not a criticism. I actually personally appreciate it. He seems to want himself out there. And I don't know if you think that's a change. I mean, it's been quite a lot here this week. And I don't know, do you think about this? Like maybe this offseason or just in general? Like Bean has never been to me somebody who is unwilling. You know, we've never, like with Terry Pegula, it's like, where'd he go? He's had however many press conferences over the year, but half of them seem to like be a disaster. Not including the one where he promised Stanley Cups for the Sabres and talked about how it wouldn't be about money anymore, and holy cow. So, you know, with Terry, it's like, where'd he go? With Bean has never been invisible or anything close to that. And, you know, Kevin Adams, too. At least they're out there. They'll take your questions. And I like both of these guys for that. But has Bean ramped it up here lately? I wonder. Maybe he hasn't. Maybe that's just sort of a misperception on my part, maybe based on the fact that we've been talking about him all week. But here's a possible theory, and it ties with what he was saying on Monday and just how like brazen he was about it, or even obnoxious he was about it. And that I wonder if Bean, 8 years in with this team and a lot of winning, and the agonizingly close playoff losses that have capped their seasons, I wonder if he's sort of like ready to either up his profile or just kind of put his neck out a little bit more. I wouldn't want to say with any sort of mind toward a new, you know, opportunity somewhere else or anything like that. That's just a needless wild guess. But it does seem to me to be something how not only how much he's talking this year, but what Monday was, which was, I am not worried about your reaction to me. And that is a powerful thing in life. If you can get to a point where, like, you know, and it can come off badly, and I think his appearance on Monday did, but what I think is kind of refreshing about it in sports, for an executive in sports or a coach or even a player, to just kind of give you the sense that he's not worried about what happens next. He's not worried about what you think. And man, I mean, for a radio host, that is gold. Like that's what you want every time. But, you know, he's had winning teams, and as Bulldog says too, like he's had a very smooth ride here. I don't think there's any question about that. I mean, I will not listen to any sort of idea that he's had it tough. Remember when Tyrod Taylor, either after he left the Bills or toward the end of his career with the Bills at a Super Bowl one time, talked about how hard the media was, and I just could not believe it. I could not believe it. Who was Tyrod Taylor? Like, he was an okay quarterback that had never had a chance to start before in the league, and, you know, I think it's pretty easy for players and coaches, if they aren't sort of, like, smart, I want to say, quote, smart about it, I think it'd be pretty easy for them to get really, like, bothered, because any criticism you hear is the thing you remember. That's what sticks to you, and the compliments bounce off. But it's the criticism that you take home and you think about, and you know that can be a bad thing. It can be a problem. I mean, I think there's a pretty tough needle to thread with this, and I don't know. Everybody's different. I have some experience with this. You know, being that I'm in a position where I get criticized, I get feedback, and it's, you know, a personal thing, like how you deal with it. I remember with Darcy Regier all those years, how what Darcy would say, and I don't know, maybe he was being honest. I never knew him that well either. What he would say was how he wouldn't listen to it, wouldn't listen to us, wouldn't listen to fans. And, you know, I think that's probably a combination of two things. If it's true, it's that you know that it can bother you and you don't want that in your life. If you can avoid it, if you can avoid it, then you don't want it. Then, you know, just I can't. But I did always say with him, and I would say with anybody, I think it's important, though, to know what the fans are saying, or even the media. I mean, the media is how many people, and it's all kinds of different opinions. But I think I would want, if I were Brandon Bean or Regier at those, you know, in those years, Adams, I'd want to know what is being said about me. But I'd have to put a limit on it. Like maybe I'd have somebody do that for me and not just turn the station on when I drove home or anything like that. I don't know. It's all kind of beside the point. The point is that Bean is, like, right now, he sounds like he's up for it. He wants to do battle. And, you know, there's a few things you might consider if there's a general accuracy to that. Like, is he trying to put his own stamp on it that hasn't been sort of afforded to him, or he's not gotten really credit for, in his mind, enough of what's happened? Is there, like, are Bean and McDermott maybe in different places, and this would be one person's way of sort of, I don't know, announcing that in a certain indirect way? I'm doing this, and I think your criticism of it is ridiculous. Here is why I'm doing it. And, you know, defiant, right out there, not afraid of the consequences. I think, you know, I just wonder. I don't know. I just wonder if he's at a place where he wants to sort of get more in the spotlight, maybe, than he's been. Which, again, like, I don't think that's bad. I think the story for a lot of this week has been what he said Monday morning. Here we are on Friday evening. What he said on Monday morning and how he did it. And that really took everybody aback. Even if he talks Monday morning and all these other times in the usual way. Yeah, you know, we looked at wide receiver. We thought about it. We always do. We always want to do anything that's we think in our best interest. But this, and this led us to defense, so that's what we did. You know, an easy response to a question that nobody would even care about. Nobody would talk about. Like that. That's the kind of thing where you don't even need to say it, because that's clearly what, you know, it's what happened, and we would assume the rest of what you said. Instead he got sideways. But anyway, what they did was the same. And what they did was, as he explained there and with Tyler and probably everywhere else, is this is where I think we needed the most help. And I think almost everybody would agree with it. The question isn't whether they needed more help on defense. The question is whether that help is sort of valuable, so to speak, on the same level as like an alpha receiver would be, or, you know, maybe not alpha even available in this draft. But that's the debate more than it is whether their defense really, like, nobody thought, I think nobody would say that they didn't need the help. So, fine. And so that's where he put his chips. And when he talked about it, other than the one time Monday morning when it just turned into something else, when he talked about it, it was reasonable. What he said to Tyler Dunn at one point, I'm going to read it. GoLongTD.com. Tyler will be on with me later. I'll go back to what I said. This is a quote. I'll go back to what I said. I had no issue with the wide receiver question all year. But after the season, and I added Josh Palmer, I thought everybody should have moved on from wide receiver. Let's get after Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson. If you want to break down where our road has come to an end, we haven't gotten those quarterbacks on the ground. This I think might be interesting. So I'm in the sacks or a quarterback stat camp. I think that that's been generally proven. It's not just sacks that work here. It's pressure. It's disrupting the pocket. It's all the kind of things that don't have to be sacks to be, you know, good. I looked up times sacked, quarterbacks sacked since the 2018 playoffs, just in the playoffs. So 7 years. The three quarterbacks he mentioned are the three most sacked quarterbacks in the playoffs since 2018. I just picked 18 because Mahomes was in the playoffs then, and so was Lamar, and Allen was about to be. I just picked, that's arbitrary, but I just picked 18. Mahomes has been sacked 17 times more than any other quarterback in the playoffs since then. Now, of course, they've played the most games. It's 21 games, and it's 46 sacks. So what is that? Like 2.2 sacks per game. Allen, who is fourth, and he's played 13, which I think is the second most, I know it is, playoff games in these last 7 years. Actually, you know who third is? Most playoff starts in the NFL the last 7 years. Mahomes one, Allen two, Brady is three with 11 games. Anyway, Allen has been sacked 28 times in those 13 games, almost identical to the rate of Mahomes. Allen isn't the point. The point is being mentioned three names: Mahomes, Burrow, and Jackson. Now, they haven't lost to Baltimore in the playoffs. Jackson is like 3.5 sacks per game. He's different. Mahomes is, or rather, Burrow is over four. 7 games, 29 sacks. Allen, again, 28 in 13 games. Burrow has been sacked more often in the playoffs than Allen, despite playing 6 fewer games. I don't know how many times the Bills sacked Burrow in that game. I didn't look that up. Could it have been many? I didn't look that up. Somewhere along the way, Joe Burrow's been sacked 29 times in 7 playoff games. He kind of has that reputation. Mahomes, 46. So here we go. The Chiefs have played 21 playoff games with him. 4 against Buffalo. In the other 17, he's been sacked 41 times for 267 yards. 2.4 sacks per game for 15 yards. So 6 to 7 yards per sack. Like, those are real sacks. Sometimes a guy runs out of bounds for zero. That's a sack. Mahomes, 2.4 sacks per game in the playoffs against teams other than the Bills for 15 yards per game. Against the Bills in 4 games, in the playoffs only, he's been sacked 5 times for 20 yards. Total. So that's an average of 1.25 sacks per game for 5 yards. The Bills have done 5 sack yards of damage against Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs ever. Per game. 4 games, 20 yards. So, like, kind of the, I don't even think this was really up for debate so much. I wanted to know the disparity, and I got what I wanted. Like, the Bills have not, gotten him to the ground. And I think we knew that. But really, what it maybe illustrates is the worthiness, didn't mean to do that. The worthiness of Bean's strategy and his point about getting those players to the ground, ultimately, if they play them again, and I think this is like sort of the last call for the Bills, for Bean's sake and maybe McDermott's, to be able to actually do it. If they do play them again, that's also debatable whether it will be. But it's whether or not they can actually achieve that, whether it's Mahomes or someone else, can they get what they want from this draft, which is to put these elite quarterbacks that are beating them on the ground in the playoffs? And then, you know, if you want to just get your head going, spinning, you know, forever, then you compare whatever the value of that might be with the wide receiver stuff. And that's where we get into trouble because, again, this week it's not been about whether the Bills like have put enough pressure on these quarterbacks in the playoffs. Like nobody thinks they have. Nobody disagrees with Brandon Bean on that. It's always about what that is versus other needs or, you know, supposed needs. And then when it comes to the draft, well, what does the draft give you? And again, I think nobody really is arguing with Bean too much that this draft was going to give you defense, and it did. And the Bills scooped it up. Patrick Mahomes, 46 postseason games. Nope, 21. Why do I keep looking at the wrong column? 21. Oh, it's because it seems like 46. 21 postseason games, 46 sacks. Four of those games against Buffalo, only five of those sacks for a total of 20 yards. I mean, come on. You didn't know this already? You did. You didn't need the numbers on this one. It hasn't happened. And so this bet is, and Bean is right out there, like, explaining it and telling you it's not subtle. It's not guesswork. This is what we want from this draft, and this is what we need. And so now it just becomes, will they get it? And we can't even begin to answer that. Well, begin. We can't know the answer until at least January. The regular season is just going to kind of be there. Again, this is a year where the regular season can only be a disappointment. Because, like, they're supposed to make it. They're supposed to win the AFC East again. If they don't, it'll be kind of maybe shocking. So that's a tough one because you really can't score points. You know, you can't really impress in the regular season when you're the Bills these days. It's only about the playoffs, and I guess that's the playoffs are sort of the other way around when you can't really, I don't want to say you can't do worse, but your thing has become rolling through the division, and then when you step up against Kansas City or the one-time Cincinnati, it's really the Chiefs, you get beat. It's been a lot of talk. It's been interesting, mostly this week. Maybe we went pretty far on it, and I'm not here by any of this trying to start another conversation up. I just thought this is what he's really saying, and the style with which he spoke on Monday isn't maybe the most important takeaway. It's what did they actually do? He spelled it out, and now it's just about whether or not, if they face Kansas City in the playoffs again, will they actually, like, Philadelphia sacked him six times. Are we looking at that? Or are we looking at 1 for 5 yards again? that's been the Bills' playoff history when it comes to Patrick Mahomes. Not to mention the lack of takeaways and just
going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
How he's basically done whatever he wanted in those games. Today, Sam Panayotovich, Bet Sweats, talking NFL, the Derby, the playoffs. Sal Capaccio at 4, Tyler Dunn joins me at 5. Dave Buchanan will be between the benches tonight for the Bandits game against Vancouver, will join me at 5:30. Thanks for listening. Sammy P is next. Bulldog is off through Monday. This is Mike Shope on WGR. Sandman, officially one word for betting purposes at the Kentucky Derby. The second choice from the 17, which is the one slot that is, that's not slot, is it? Post position that has never won the Derby. Maybe tomorrow. Mike Shope here. Bulldog is off today. On the line now, the Westher Hotline, in fact, the host of Bet Sweats, Odyssey Sports betting insider Sam Panayotovich. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Check out the latest lines today on the BetMGM app and be sure to catch Bet Sweats live 9 to noon weekdays on the BetMGM network and the Odyssey app. Hi, Sam.
Hey, buddy.
What are you into today?
I have a bet in the Oaks. Actually, two bets in the Oaks. That, of course, is the Friday special at Churchill Downs. And I bet, let's see, the two horse, Simply Joking, and the seven horse, La Cara. They're both longer shots, like 8-1, both. The favorite is Good Cheer, 7-5, and I'm keying him out because everybody's on the favorite. But I do have a bet that goes off at 5:51 Eastern. I know you're all ready for DK Horse.
Yes. Yes.
I bet 50 on the 2 and 50 on the 7. We'll see what happens.
Is there an MGM horse I should mention instead from now on?
No, there's not. Nope, they didn't pay the piper, I don't think. So, look, there's like a different license for sports and horse. So, I don't think they felt the need to get into it. You can now if you're in Vegas and you're at, you know, Mandalay or MGM, like they do have race books there, but I don't believe you can bet. I should know that, but I'm almost positive. Like, I'm looking at BetMGM right now on the app. I don't see a single slot for horses. And when you go A through Z, there's no horse. It goes handball, hockey, lacrosse. So I think we're off the hook on MGM. But, look, people use TVG. People use local guys. It sort of is what it is. There's still an OTB around the corner from my old apartment back when I lived in Chicago. So there's plenty of ways to get down on the horsies.
No doubt. Is there either a favorite of yours or just even maybe a best way to bet horse racing? I mean, the point about leaving the favorite out is we all enjoy that practice no matter what we're betting. But, you know, whether it's win, play, show, exacta, different combinations, is there a best way to go?
Yeah, the simplest way I feel for people that are getting into this maybe for the first time or the second time is the exacta box. And what that is, you can pick as many horses as you want. You can pick 3, you could pick 6, you could pick 8. The more you pick, you know, the more difficult it is to win bigger money because you're making more bets and only 2 horses can finish 1-2. So, for example, I'm going to give you a lot of numbers here. People may have to go back to the Odyssey app and hit the rewind feature, but I like the favorite, ironically enough, in this race. Eddie Olczyk was on our show this week. He's high on Journalism, the favorite, who's currently 7-2 right now on the odd screen, so plus 350 for you sports bettors. I did a 6-horse exacta box. It's a $3 bet, so the ticket costs $90. And what I did, Mike, is I put Journalism in this exacta box with these 5 horses. The 3, Final Gambit, the 9, Burnham Square, the 14, Tiztastic, another Eddie O horse, the 18, Sovereignty, and the 21, Baeza. Now, those horses all have one thing in common. They're closers. My handicap of the race, which could be right, could be wrong, I think the favorite is the class. The favorite's going to pull away late. And then the gap will be made up by one of those 5 horses, 3, 9, 14, 18, 21, to come from the middle and finish 2nd. That's how I see it playing out. That's my logic. Again, could be right, could be wrong. So what I'm hoping for is that it goes 8-3, 8-9, 8-14, 8-18, or 8-21. I get all those bets. I'm also, though, because it's an exacta box, I'm protected if the 8 finishes in 2nd. So it could be 3-8, 9-8, 14-8. It could also be 3-9-9-3. I get all those numbers, all 6 numbers, and 2 of them have to finish 1st or 2nd.
Okay, so that's going to be 12 bets?
Essentially, yes.
Okay, that's not going to break you.
All right. No, it's not bad. Like I said, a $3 Exacta box is going to run you $90. And that's the most common question I get all week. I have a lot of friends that will text me twice a year, who do I like in the Masters? And I have $100 to lose in the Derby. What do I do? And I always respond, because I'm that kind of guy, and I say, look, make that $3 Exacta box bet. Here are the six horses. It'll cost you $90. But the good thing about those horses that I gave you outside of the eight, the three is 16 to one, the nine is 16 to one, the 14 is 18 to one, the 18 is 9 to one, and the 21 is 19 to one. So if one of those five hits the board with the eight, the odds explode.
Right on. You know, it's of course also playoff season here, NBA, NHL. We've talked about in the hockey playoffs, Washington a time or two, and I told you how I'd be betting against them every round. Well, I'm 0-1 with the Capitals beating Montreal in the so-called gentleman's sweep, five games. It's still not decided in the West. A couple of series have yet to finish. Any thoughts on things so far or odds for round two? Florida is a pretty good favorite against Toronto.
Yeah, I saw that price, and I did a double take. You know, you would think that the team without home ice would not be $1.80, but okay, Florida, the reigning champs and the two-time East champ, I guess, $1.80, $1.85. Toronto gets home ice. I think there's a lot of people that are expecting Toronto to annually flame out, and you understand that. I don't know, man. I'm not laying $1.80. Here's what I think the advice in that series would be. I haven't made a bet on it, but I think the move would be to just wait it out and see if Toronto can win that first game. Because remember, Toronto has home ice. So Toronto plays game one in Canada. If Toronto wins game one, I would then jump in maybe on Florida down 1-0. That way I don't have to lay 180. I might be able to get minus 110, minus 115. I want no part of laying 180 in a playoff series. And look no further than some of these series in the NBA where you had a team like the Lakers laying minus 200. Timberwolves win that series in five. Another series that I think a lot of people were really intrigued by, Clippers and the Nuggets. Clippers opened Nuggets opened $1.90. Everybody bet the Clippers down, and here we go to game seven. So I've never been a fan of laying these big prices in series. It's a different conversation when you talk about maybe the Celtics or the Cavs, two teams that are not losing. But I would, if you like Florida, I would wait, see if they lose game one, and then jump in live.
The two sports are very different for this. You know, like the odds of a favorite winning in the NBA playoffs, especially early, I mean, it's very rare when they don't, like a good favorite. Whereas in hockey, at least, you know, in theory, other years, I mean, Washington did get there. The top two teams in the Atlantic Division both advanced. I mean, you expect more from the underdogs.
Certainly in hockey. It's such a random sport. You know, one puck bounces one way and everything changes. I'm looking right now just to speak about this out loud. Oh, they won't even let me parlay that at MGM. See, they're smart about that because it's going to win. Let me see if I can go somewhere else and parlay this series. I was thinking about the Cavs to win and the Celtics to win minus 250. I mean, look, Mike, I don't love laying 250 every day, but are the Knicks and Pacers or Knicks or Pacers really going to win? No, it feels like we've been headed for for Celtics Cavs all season long in the East.
With Sam Paniatovich, I'm Mike Shope. Bulldog is off today. It's been an interesting week here, Sam. We woke up Monday morning and the GM of the Bills, Brandon Bean, jumped on WGR and just ripped some of our guys and anybody who thinks that the Bills have just been not serious enough at wide receiver. We've basically been talking about that all week. Anytime you look, though, at odds, you know, win total, playoff percentage, the Bills might be the biggest favorite they've ever been. 11.5 wins, minus 150 to win 12 or more games. Pro Football Network put them at 97% to make the playoffs. All of this, the whole referendum on the stuff he was talking about will show up in the playoffs. But right now, win totals-wise, futures-wise, the Bills are a super chalk team.
Division blows. That's the truth. And I remember the first time you, Bulldog, and myself all hopped on the phone, either the first or second time, I said, honestly, Buffalo's in that pattern now where they're the Patriots of 10 years ago. they're just so much better than everybody in the East. And it feels like French doors to a first-round playoff game. And barring some catastrophic injury to a player that I will not name because I'm not going to throw that voodoo on your station. But, I mean, as long as he stays healthy, they're fine. They're just too good on both ends of the ball. I'm a big fan of their coach, even though some people might not be. My issue with Buffalo has just been the postseason depth, getting deep. And I don't need to you know, wax poetic on WGR. Everybody else knows. I mean, the goal here is to get to a Super Bowl. That's a much different ask, though, than winning one of the weakest divisions in football. I mean, think about the Jets, who are going to come in with a first-year head coach and a new quarterback, Justin Fields. Miami, who gets softer by the minute. It's like an ice cream cone melting on a summer day. Like, they can't tackle on defense. They can't block on offense. Their coach is the smartest guy in the room. Just ask him. And a quarterback that can't stay on the field. And then, you know, look, New England's getting a lot of money. I will say this. I talked to a guy in Vegas yesterday who books bets. And he said our sharpest players have bet the Patriots over the win total. Now, are they going to challenge Buffalo for a division title? No. But a win total right now on New England, 7.5 over -150 at a couple Vegas places. Remember, Mike, their win total last year was 4.5. To make them 7.5 and have that juiced at -150 tells you that people that are smarter than me are betting it. And they did have a pretty decent offseason. But all that said, you know, guys like Stephon Diggs and Travion Henderson and Will Campbell and Harold Landry and, you know, guys like that, like Milton Williams from the Eagles and win the Super Bowl, like they brought all those guys to New England. It's going to make the team a lot better, and Vrabel knows how to win. But at the end of the day, man, nobody holds a candle to Buffalo in the East.
Kyle Williams as well, rookie wide receiver that they drafted. I think you mentioned last week that we would want to talk about rookie of the year in the NFL, like eventually, maybe not as soon as today. I'm sorry if you're not prepared to do that. But I've got 12 fantasy drafts that start tomorrow. 11 are rookie drafts. So I'm totally like rookies on the brain. It really is like Christmas, Sam. Tomorrow is like one of the great days for me. But just comparing landing spots and everything else, you mentioned Henderson there with New England. He's interesting. Do you have any early thoughts on rookie of the year?
I bet it right away, once I could. I bet Omarion Hampton, Charger running back.
Okay.
They were ecstatic. I went back and I watched the press conference. It was Hortiz, the GM, and Jim Harbaugh, the head coach, of course. And they were both basically saying, we never thought he would fall here. I could only imagine being a fly on the wall in the Charger draft room when the Broncos, who were not going to pass up on Hampton, passed up on Hampton, and he fell a couple slots lower. This is a guy who might have a better shake than any rookie coming into a new team and a new system. Now, look, I'm not saying he's going to be the best player from this draft, but think about how the Chargers have built this team over the last 4 or 5 years. It's been all offensive line. They go out and they get Rashawn Slater in the first round of 21, play left tackle, Pro Bowl left tackle. They draft Zion Johnson first in 22, left guard. They draft Joe Alt last year, 24, first round. They bring in Becton, who just played with the Eagles, won a Super Bowl. They have literally, Mike, built this offensive line to be one of the best in the league. They have a quarterback that should take a next step, Justin Herbert. They found Hampton and probably almost fainted because he's a three-down back. He can hit the tackles. He can go outside. He can catch passes. I think by week four, and I know what you're going to say, oh, they have Najee Harris. Najee Harris belongs at the tire yard. Najee Harris is on a one-year deal. That's not a long-term plan. I think by week four, Harbaugh is going to realize with a team that wants to run the ball and a coordinator in Greg Roman that's going to force the run, they're going to give Hampton the ball 20 to 25 times a game. Behind that line with that quarterback on that team, 16-1 on Hampton is a really good bet, man. I think we're going to see that number closer to 8 or 10 by opening day.
16-1. Where does that rank?
Crazy, right? Yeah, 16-1. He's like fifth or sixth on the board.
Jentie, you know, McMillan, Cam Ward, Hunter.
Yeah, it's, let's see. So Ward is your favorite, naturally. Oh, wow, no, they bet Jentie the favorite. Okay, so that happened in the last day or so. Jentie plus 230, Ward 330, Travis Hunter 950. I don't know if he gets enough snaps on offense. He's going to play both ways. Hampton is now, oh, look at that. This book has Hampton 12-1. So people have been listening to bet sweats. But look, anything north of 12-1, anything 14-15-1, I would bet anything with a one in front of it, he is going to be the rookie to play in this market. And look, I've hit guys in the past. I've hit some guys at 20-1. I never play the favorites. Cam Ward has no help. That team is going to stink. And Genty has no offensive line in Vegas. Given the system and the players around him, Hampton's the bet.
What's RJ Harvey?
RJ Harvey is, let's see, I see 25-1. I see 30-1.
Love it. I think what Hampton has, well, I mean, Hampton was a better prospect too, generally speaking. But Hampton has the Harbaugh-Roman piece. Genty has Sean Payton, which isn't bad, and there's no Najee Harris. I do think Harris will have a role with the Chargers. That could be red zone. He never gets hurt. It's $5 million, but you know, your scenario is Hampton blows him away by week four. We'll see. Harvey has nobody to compete with him in that backfield, and he's not a big guy, but it's also 25-1.
I don't think I would fight you on any of the running backs at double figures. So Joe likes Henderson. I like Judkins a little bit, although, you know, it really is, it's a great rookie on a good team. So if your team stinks, you usually don't get there, unfortunately. Yeah. So I have my concerns about Cleveland. I also think Denver is going to take a little step back because the second-year quarterbacks, you know, Bo Nix comes to mind, is a guy who now the league has tape on, and you can study all those games and you can prepare. And, you know, that was always the old Ken Griffey analogy. I come in as a rookie. I do it big. Then the league adjusts to me. Then I have to adjust to the adjustments. You see that a lot in the NFL with second-year quarterbacks. Like C.J. Stroud last year was really struggling early in the year. They made the playoffs, but the division was awful. I don't hate a bet on Hampton, Judkins, Henderson, your guy Harvey. I think it's a great year for these running backs on decent teams, but Hampton's my favorite.
Thank you, Sam. Good luck this weekend.
All right, guys. Journalism, the eight. I hate the favorites, but I think it's the play, buddy.
You hate the favorites, but you love and respect journalism. I think we can say
and
that.
And I love and respect you. How about that?
Thank you, Sam. That's so kind.
Yeah.
Sam Panayotovich, Bet Sweats, Odyssey Sports Insider. Insider calls presented by BetMGM. For all your betting needs, check out the newly rebranded BetMGM Network on the Odyssey app. Sal joins me at 4. Mike Shope here, WGR. Welcome back. It's the Bandits at home to Vancouver tonight on WGR. Pregame at 7, and it starts at 7:30. Dave Buchanan, who, as always, will be on the broadcast, joins me at 5:30. I've got lacrosse on my calendar this weekend, tomorrow afternoon. My son plays Sunday morning. So, yes, big lacrosse weekend. And coming up to that very cool time of year in that sport on the college level with conference tournament playoffs. Then it always wraps up on Memorial Day once the tournament gets going. It's sort of a staple, right? Not everybody knows about it or pays close attention, but I always remember the lacrosse championship game, NCAA, being late morning, early afternoon on Memorial Day, which is a great holiday. Got to lock it in for 80 and sunny. I'm saying it now every year, Memorial Day. There was one year where it rained and we decided not to acknowledge it. Sal coming up in about 10 minutes. You know, one complaint I know we may share about the show this week is just not enough fantasy. And I accept that. I'm not kidding when I say to Sam, if you play in a dynasty league, so year-round, and you keep your team together, tomorrow is, you don't have to start it tomorrow, but the post-NFL draft, rookie draft, is such a great day. And what I mentioned to Sam, and I mentioned to Bulldog before he ran out of the room once I did so earlier this week, that I'm in 12. 11 are these rookie drafts, and they're what are called slow drafts. So it's not like you're juggling 11 traditional fast fantasy football drafts. You're all in the same room. It's not like that. You get 8 hours to make a pick. So they stretch out over a few weeks, and I just love it. On tomorrow morning is where, on the one site where I play a lot, they all start. 11 of them start at different times, and I just so can't wait. It is football does this. I mentioned listening to the School of Scott with Scott Barrett, who's been on with us a few times. And he had the gentleman from Coach Speak Index, which is a fun novel site in the space, on his show, and they broke down press conferences, all the post-draft press conferences from every team, you know, 4 hours of content. I think it was Greg, Scott's guest, who said that the NFL has a way of giving you every year a lot of different Christmases. And for a dynasty fantasy player, tomorrow is definitely one. So, I mean, the draft is one. Last Thursday night is like Christmas, you know, maybe the schedule for you. Sal and I both enjoy that very much. He'll be on with me next. Got a couple of thoughts on that for him. You know, camp, of course, week one, Super Bowl, a lot of them, a lot of Christmases. And this year, adding to the Christmas list of Christmases, Christmas. Last year, I guess, is when that started. But three games every year going forward, I think there's a pretty good chance the Bills will be one of the three this year. All right, a break here, and then Sal, Tyler Dunn, and Dave Buchanan as well as we go through the day. This is Mike Shope. Bulldog is off. Thanks for listening to WGR.